Tonight, blown away, a ferocious tornado outbreak strikes New Orleans in areas devastated by Katrina. A major emergency as a violent storm system demolishes homes. Travel ban cliffhanger. We're awaiting a ruling on President Trump's immigration order right now. Tiebreaker, an all-night drama, a history-making vote, and what it could mean for the future of America's schools. Child flu deaths. Alarming new numbers show the virus taking a more lethal toll than last year. An alert for every parent tonight. Packing your home through your refrigerator, your thermostat, even the TV you're watching right now. How thieves can gain access to your most private information. And the power of pasta, a chef on a mission overcoming tragedy and inspiring America. Nightly news begins right now.
From NBC News World Headquarters in New York, this is NBC Nightly News with Lester Holt.
Good evening to our viewers in the West. A dangerous and fast-moving storm system is on the march in the deep south tonight after unleashing damaging tornadoes in southeast Louisiana, including parts of New Orleans. At least 20 people were injured and many left homeless as the twisters, high winds, and hail heavily damaged homes and businesses, some in areas that were flooded during Hurricane Katrina. The powerful storm system swept in around midday and tonight still threatens millions as it speeds eastward. Al Roker updates the threat in a moment, but first to New Orleans, where Gabe Gutierrez has the latest.
Tonight, the South is bracing for more severe weather.
We got another one coming?
After powerful storms ripped through Louisiana.
Oh, my God. Look at this. Man, this is a real tornado.
At least three tornadoes touching down in and around New Orleans.
Just total devastation. I can't believe it.
Shredding homes, flipping trucks, and tearing this gas station apart. Witnesses say the sky went dark in seconds.
Get on their knees so we won't get hurt. And it was scary.
Kelly Donaldson was looking out her front window as the tornado barreled toward her neighborhood, blowing away the home across the street.
Wind just came out of nowhere and just blew it. Blew it down.
Louisiana's governor declaring a state of emergency. Thousands of people left without power.
We have had our fair share of tragedies, but you know the people of New Orleans are as tough as they come, and our first responders are the best, so we'll get through this.
Among the worst hit areas, New Orleans East, some of the same neighborhoods ravaged by Hurricane Katrina more than a decade ago.
I thought I was going to die.
Roderick Howard was walking his dog when the storm came through. He was knocked over by a gust so strong it swept his pet away.
It knocked me down. And it took my dog away, man. It took my dog away.
The twister is part of a powerful system that tore through several states, dumping hail and pounding the region with relentless winds. Tonight, parts of the Big Easy are hit hard.
A lot of stuff was lost. Pictures, money, you know, stuff that you'll never get back.
But neighbors are helping neighbors in a city that has seen heartbreak before.
Around two dozen people were injured, but remarkably, no deaths have been reported. The National Weather Service now says that the tornado that hit New Orleans was at least an EF2, packing winds of up to 135 miles an hour. The National Guard will be on hand in this neighborhood tonight. Lester.
All right. Gabe Gutierrez. Gabe, thanks. Al Roker's here now with us. Bad weather in the south, and you're watching a storm brewing in the northeast as well.
That's right. We could be looking at a big snowstorm, Lester, but in the meantime, we've got the radar showing all those strong storms pushing through. We still have a slight risk of strong storms from New Orleans to Dothan, Panama City, Tallahassee, 7 million people at risk, but it will die down later tonight. Now, what we are watching is this system. This nor'easter gets together, makes its march up I-95. Thursday morning at 6 a.m., we've got snow from Washington all the way up to New York City. Wind gusts increasing to 30 miles per hour. The roads, I-95 is going to be a mess. The airports from D.C. to Boston, a mess. By 12 noon, it moves into Boston. New York City, Philadelphia still involved. The snow could be falling at rates 1 to 3 inches per hour. As the storm moves off by Thursday evening, Boston's commute is going to be a mess. Here's what we're looking at total-wise right now. Washington on the low end of things, 1 to 2 inches. Philly, 4 to 6. New York City could see 6 to 8 inches of snow. That might be low. And Boston, the big winner or loser, depending on how you look at this, Lester, 8 to 12 inches. We'll continue to tweak this through tomorrow.
All right, Al, we'll see you in the morning. Thank you. Tonight, President Trump's executive order on immigration is in the hands of a federal appeals court. A three-judge panel is considering arguments made by lawyers on both sides about whether to keep a hold on enforcing the order. A decision could come at any time, and we get the latest from our justice correspondent, Pete Williams, who is in our Washington newsroom. Pete?
Lester, a panel of the West Coast Appeals Court is just finishing an emergency hearing tonight. Those three judges will decide whether the Trump order stays on hold or can be enforced again. As the Trump travel restriction remained on hold for a fourth day, immigrants rushed to get here.
My family is here with us safe.
Concerned it could suddenly be enforced once again. In a telephone conference call with judges from the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals in San Francisco, appointed by Presidents Carter, George W. Bush, and Obama, lawyers for the Justice Department made the case that the stay should be lifted after it was imposed by a judge in Seattle Friday, stopping enforcement of the executive order.
The executive order at issue puts a temporary pause on entry for individuals from seven countries that Congress and the last president determined in a similar context pose special risks in terms of terrorist infiltration into our country.
But a lawyer for the state said the executive order violates the law and hurts economically.
It has always been the judicial branch's role to say what the law is and to serve as a check on abuses by the executive branch. That judicial role has never been more important in recent memory than it is today. But the president is asking this court to abdicate that role here.
And the new Secretary of Homeland Security told Congress today that he regrets not telling Congress earlier about the executive order, though he thinks it went smoothly.
I should have delayed it just a bit so that I could talk to members of Congress, particularly the leadership of committees like this, to prepare them for what was coming.
And he said the seven countries named in the executive order were chosen not because they're Muslim, but because, like Iran, they've been declared state sponsors of terrorism, or like Libya, lack a functioning government and are incapable of providing accurate background information on people who want to come here, especially refugees. The judges seem skeptical of the government's argument tonight, somewhat more receptive to the states. With tonight's oral argument now done, the court will soon announce its decision, maybe tonight, perhaps tomorrow, and it could still wind up before the Supreme Court, Lester.
All right, Pete Williams, thank you. Now to the dramatic Senate showdown, culminating in a historic tie-breaking vote by Vice President Mike Pence to push through President Trump's pick to lead the nation's schools. Her nomination has been fraught with controversy from the start. And NBC's Capitol Hill correspondent Casey Hunt has late details.
President Trump's Secretary of Education sworn in tonight after half the Senate opposed her. Betsy DeVos became the first cabinet nominee in history to require the vice president to break a tie.
The Senate being equally divided, the vice president votes in the affirmative and the nomination is confirmed.
A Michigan billionaire, DeVos has spent millions advocating vouchers and charter schools, but became a lightning rod.
Vote no! Vote no!
Democrats pounced at her lack of experience with public schools.
You never attended a public school, K-12 school, did you?
Correct.
And your children did not either, correct?
That's correct.
And you've never taught at a K-12 public school, correct?
I've not, but I've mentored in one.
And this answer about guns in schools went viral.
I would imagine that there's probably a gun in the school to protect from potential grizzlies.
Mocked on SNL.
And gun for potential grizzly.
Her nomination sparking protests on social media and at rallies from Philadelphia.
We will hold you accountable.
To Kansas City.
This is my first protest ever.
And on Capitol Hill.
I'm happy to pass along your concerns.
Senate offices flooded with 1.5 million calls a day.
Good morning. Thank you for calling Senator Casey.
And at least one pizza delivery with a note.
I think that what's driving it is people watched the hearings and thought, this is somebody who is now in charge of my children's education.
But DeVos's confirmation, good news to charter advocates, like the principal at the Hope of Detroit Academy.
Students should be able to, and parents should be able to go to wherever they want to go for their education.
The president never wavered in his support for DeVos, and she was Democrats' best chance to pick off a nominee. The White House is accusing Democrats of blanket obstruction, and tonight Democrats will be here late into the night speaking out against Attorney General nominee Jeff Sessions. Lester.
Casey Hunt on Capitol Hill, thank you. Tonight, the Standing Rock Sioux tribe is promising to fight in court after the Army said today it has cleared the way for the completion of the Dakota Access Pipeline, which has been the source of numerous protests. The Army says it will allow the pipeline to cross under a Missouri River reservoir, despite the tribe's concerns a pipeline leak could pollute the source of its drinking water. Now to important news for parents about this deadly flu season. The new CDC report shows the number of states with widespread outbreaks of flu has risen to 40. And there is growing concern that it's hitting children particularly hard this year, with several more months still to go. Let's get more from NBC's Ann Thompson.
17-year-old Kayla Linton, a three-sport athlete, a sister, and a life just lost to the flu.
My little sister, she's perfectly healthy. She got sick out of nowhere, and it took her life.
So far, it's been a deadly flu season for kids. There are 15 flu-associated deaths among children under the age of 18, a 67% increase compared to the same time last year, and the season has at least three more months to go. Four children have died in New York State from the virus spread by droplets from the nose or mouth.
Fever, cough, chills, muscle aches, irritability in young child. They don't want to eat. They lost their appetite.
Officials in the Chattanooga, Tennessee area are taking no chances, closing schools in Rhea County after more than 700 students and teachers called in sick.
So many teachers were sick, we were running out of substitutes that we could call on to use as well. So it's hit our community pretty hard.
Flu could temper the Patriots celebration. Researchers report cities of Super Bowl teams see an 18% spike in flu deaths for those over 65. Masks are a sign of the times at New York City's Mount Sinai Hospital.
So is it too late to get the vaccine then?
I would say still get the vaccine, but planning ahead to next year, get the vaccine in October.
This year, Kayla Linton, a high school senior, didn't get vaccinated, something her family is now urging everyone to do.
Take it as seriously as you can, because again, it can happen to anyone.
And tragically, it has. Ann Thompson, NBC News, New York.
There is late word that an urgent manhunt has just come to a deadly end south of Atlanta. Authorities searching for a fugitive couple say they found them earlier holed up in a motel. The suspects wanted in connection with a multi-state killing spree that's claimed three lives and kept communities on edge. NBC's Kerry Sanders now with the latest.
Two suspects, three murders.
What we are experiencing is a running nightmare, quite honest.
Billy Boyette on the run for 8 days, and Mary Rice wanted for accessory to murder after the fact. Late Tuesday, Boyette's one-time girlfriend, Alicia Greer, was gunned down in Milton, Florida, along with her friend, Jacqueline Moore.
Mel woke up, found his 52-year-old wife in the yard.
3 days later, 27 miles away in Lillian, Alabama, Peggy Bros shot and killed in her driveway, her car stolen. Then, yesterday in Pensacola, Florida, a home invasion, shot and critically injured Kayla Crocker, her 2-year-old son in another room, untouched. Again, another car stolen. Neighbors anxious.
I was just very scared. Turned on a lot of lights. I had a 12-gauge shotgun. I loaded my shotgun.
The two suspects were spotted on surveillance video, casually eating at this Hardee's after yesterday's attack. Deputies believe Bryce was working with Boyette, but her brother told NBC News off camera she was not a willing participant.
She's only trying to survive right now as far as we're concerned.
A community on edge as authorities intensified their search.
You know, we were very direct with our community. You need to be afraid. You need to be scared.
And as that posting from the Escambia County Sheriff's Office reveals, it says that the hunt is indeed now over. Both suspects were found hiding in a roadside motel 256 miles from here in LaGrange, Georgia. The authorities say Billy Boyette Jr. committed suicide. His alleged accomplice, Mary Rice, surrendered and is now in custody. Lester?
Kerry Sanders with that late update for us. Thank you, Kerry. Still ahead, home hackers, how cyber thieves can target you where you live through everything from your TV to your refrigerator, and some tricks of your own to fight back. Also, how would you like to send your kids to college for free? The big city that just made a historic move in higher education. We're back with a warning now for anyone who has connected their in-home appliances to their Wi-Fi system. Not just TVs and stereos, but refrigerators, ovens, thermostats, even sprinkler systems are connected to the web. But by some estimates, three-quarters of in-home Wi-Fi networks could be vulnerable to hackers, snooping or even stealing your private information. Here's NBC's Tom Costello.
To visit the Johnson home in San Francisco,
I tapped the red circle.
It unlocks, and I just walk inside.
It's to walk into a living, app-controlled smart home.
The lights automatically come on, and the heat automatically turns on as well.
Amazon's Alexa helps connect the thermostat, the window blinds, the lights, the music jam, the doorbell.
Hey, Daddy. How you doing?
In all, 50 app connections in Jason Johnson's home. But the more connected, the greater the risk.
We are opening ourselves up to vulnerabilities, to hackers.
Usually through the in-home Wi-Fi network that comes with a weak default password. To show me how easily it can all be compromised, cybersecurity analyst James Lyne sent me to a colleague's home near Boston. By the time I pressed the doorbell, he'd already hacked in, watching my every move on the in-home security cameras and cracking the alarm system.
Why would anybody want to hack my doorbell, my refrigerator, or my thermostat?
It's more that they could use those devices as a means to access more interesting sources of information.
Financial information. Once James hacked the Wi-Fi, he tracked my online shopping, my emails, even bank accounts.
We can see anything you type anywhere on your computer.
To protect yourself, experts advise create separate Wi-Fi networks, one for your computers, another for your appliances. Use complicated, long passwords, and use two-step verification logins. Both Amazon Alexa and Google Home insist they are secure.
It's a little bit overwhelming sometimes, right, to realize everything is talking, everything's communicating. But the truth is, it's all under my control.
Jason invented that door lock and the app on his phone and is vigilant about keeping his Wi-Fi hack-proof. Tom Costello, NBC News, Washington.
We'll take a short break. When we come back, we'll have the life after the White House for President Obama. There's a mystery still nagging at the new Super Bowl champs. While thousands line the streets of Boston today in the rain and snow to cheer on the Patriots, police were busy trying to track down Tom Brady's missing game jersey, which the MVP believes was stolen from the locker area. The jersey, now the subject of a full-blown investigation being led by the Houston Police Department, is valued at $500,000. In San Francisco, a historic move. It's now the first major city in the nation to offer free community college to all its residents. About 30,000 students are expected to benefit beginning this fall. The city will pay for it with a tax on multi-million dollar property sales. To qualify, you have to have lived in the city for at least a year and a day. Now to what a lot of people are good-naturedly calling Richard and Barack's excellent adventure. That's former President Obama out of office and, from the looks of it, thoroughly enjoying his vacation. In this video of the former president kite surfing with Sir Richard Branson in the Virgin Islands. Branson says it was Mr. Obama who came out on top in their head-to-head kite surfing contest. When we come back, an update on a celebrity chef who's helped so many and now needs a hand himself. Finally, tonight we have an update on a chef whose story touched so many of you. For years, Chef Bruno has cooked up something special to keep kids in need from going hungry. And even now, after tragedy struck this past weekend, he remains a man focused on a mission. Our Joe Fryer has more in our Inspiring America report.
Chef Bruno Serrato can attest to the unlikely healing power of pasta.
Viva la pasta!
We saw that power on display 2 years ago when we first met the chef at his Anaheim White House restaurant.
This is where all the magic happened.
Here, he cooked up massive Italian feasts for neighborhood kids through his charity Caterina's Club, named after his late mother.
One of the kids is like, from 1 to 10, I'm rating you a 10 because your pasta is very good.
The nonprofit now serves meals in several cities, nourishing 1,800 children a night. But over the weekend, what his restaurant was feeding was a fire. Flames quickly destroyed Serrato's beloved White House.
Give me a hug. Okay.
Yet they could not melt his spirit.
It was a fire, you know why? Because we have to make it more beautiful. You love my spaghetti?
Just 2 days after the fire, Chef Bruno is already serving spaghetti to kids from the local Boys and Girls Club.
He's a good man.
So happy to be with you guys.
To make it happen, a nearby event center opened its doors and its kitchen, just one of many businesses offering help.
He's got the biggest heart in Orange County, and he truly has a passion for the kids.
Buon appetito! I knew you speak Italian.
The chef knows his restaurant will be rebuilt, so he's focusing on the kids and his staff.
Things can happen in life, but you have to stand up. It's hard to stand up. Never give up.
Thank you.
It's like therapy, powered by pasta and plenty of love. Joe Fryer, NBC News, Anaheim, California.
That's going to do it for us on a Tuesday night. I'm Lester Holt. For all of us at NBC News, thank you for watching and good night.